It is 3:13. Welcome along to BBC Radio London. Shay Court Gutterval with you this afternoon. Now, I wanted to talk about, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, around social media. This is after the news. I'm sure you will have heard it here on BBC Radio London. TikTok has been banned from government phones and other devices used by ministers and civil servants. With immediate effect. The decision's been taken on security grounds after the Chinese-owned video sharing app was accused of passing information about users to the Chinese government, something that the firm denies. The announcement was made in the Commons earlier today by the Cabinet Office Minister Oliver Dowden. And to delve into this conversation, I'm joined on the line now by Fevzi Turkalp, who is editor of GadgetDetective.com, also the host of the Gadget Detective podcast. Pleasure to have you on BBC Radio London, Fevzi. Firstly, what was your reaction to the news? Is this good news or is it bad?
I think it's wise. I actually don't think it goes far enough because this covers government ministers and, civil servants on their government-issued devices. It does not cover their personal devices, and it really ought, and it should extend, in my opinion, to all members of parliament. We know for a fact that members of parliament and ministers have been extensively using their personal devices for government business. There's been all sorts of kerfuffle about that in the past, and it's convenient and people do it. So really, this ban should run to their own devices as well, not just government issued ones.
So why are they only banning it from government phones and not all phones, given the dangers perhaps for children as well?
So there is not much specific evidence that this has happened. There have been some cases of American journalists who seem to be tracked by TikTok employees, although TikTok later says that it was all a mistake and those people were sacked. But obviously, the danger is this, that Chinese registered companies have the legal obligation to cooperate with the Chinese state in a not dissimilar way that you know Western companies do. If you look at the restrictions put on Western companies now, that they have to hand over certain information. So the worry is that information that they collect, potentially about the location of users, maybe accessing their contacts list, maybe surreptitiously turning on their microphones or cameras, in other words, spying on them, that information could be shared with the Chinese state. Now, you know, it's one thing to say, well, you know, citizens can make that decision, but certainly representatives who have information on their personal devices and other devices should not be using TikTok. It is too much of a risk, and it's just part of a wider disentanglement of relationships between the East and the West. We see this a lot.
Is this a wider conversation that should be had with other corporations, companies in the country around TikTok and safety?
Yeah. So there are some, for example, news organisations that have already banned their staff from using TikTok on their devices. And I think it's something that should be happening. And let's not forget that Facebook, Instagram, Twitter are blocked, you know, en masse in China as well. So, you know, this is not an unprecedented move. It's not safe. If you think that China may be spying on us for political or commercial reasons, then it's not safe to have leaders of industry and political decision makers putting themselves and the information that they hold in trust at risk.
Let's have a listen now. This is to Cabinet Office Minister Oliver Dowden in the Commons earlier. This was the announcement that was made.
It is clear that there could be a risk around how sensitive government data is accessed and used by certain platforms. As many colleagues will know, social media apps collect and store huge amounts of user data, including contacts, user content, and geolocation data. On government devices, that data can be sensitive.
So the key aspect he then went on to talk about as well, Mr. Dowden said, and he described this as good cyber hygiene. Mm. I mean, what does he mean by that? And also, is this not then something that everyone should be thinking about?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, we are, when it comes to our smartphones, number one, we're addicted, and that, you know, TikTok is arguably the most addictive of the social media apps. It's designed to be so. And if I said to you, you know, is it appropriate for government ministers and other members of parliament to be consumers of an addictive product from China, you'd probably say, no, that's a security risk, right? So you wouldn't accept that. So yes, I think we should all do that. We should all think about the apps that we install, look at what permissions we're giving to those apps. So, for example, if you download a sat-nav app, then, of course, it's necessary for it to be able to locate you. Yeah, it has to be able to look at your location. But if you've got a game, why does that game need to know, A, your location, and B, upload a copy of your contacts list? So I think for all sorts of reasons, we should be cautious about what we install.
It's important as well to give the other perspective here, which is the fact that, as you've already said, TikTok themselves are denying allegations that it hands users' data to the Chinese government. But also, they have gone on to say, and I would like your take on this, I'm just going to read the full statement. TikTok have said, it was disappointed, adding that the decision was based on fundamental misconceptions and driven by wider geopolitics in which TikTok and our millions of users in the UK play no part. They said, we remain committed to working with the government to address any concerns, but should be judged on facts and treated equally to our competitors. Is the implication, therefore, then, that the government haven't looked at the facts here? Or is there more behind this story that the government have not given more details on?
So I think there's two things. Whether the government has specific knowledge of TikTok having gathered information and passed it to the Chinese state is one thing. I suspect that they probably do have more information than we have. But even if it is not the case that that evidence exists, the fact that Chinese registered companies have a legal obligation to assist the Chinese state when requested to do so just says that that information is at risk. And the risk itself is sufficient. We should take measures to ensure ourselves. We don't have to have a fire in progress in order to want to have insurance against fire. So we should be taking steps now to limit the risk. But I do think that in addition to that, if they're really not going to ban TikTok from privately owned devices of ministers and others, then they should enforce rules about these private personal devices not being used for government business. But the reality is, you're never going to stop that because people are lazy, and you know they'll have all their colleagues' contact details. So, you know, I think that this is the minimum that they should be doing. I would have liked to have seen them go further, frankly.
So when you talk about going further, what would you have liked to have seen further?
It should be all members of parliament. It should also extend towards their to their personal devices as well, and there should be a way of auditing that. And
really?
If they're breaking rules.
Even though that is personal devices, not work phones?
Well, let's put it this way. If we argue that they're personal devices, if it is found that any member of parliament or civil servant is then using their personal device for government business, then they should be punished for that. It's really a serious thing. The information they hold is not just their personal information. They hold information in trust for our country and our country's interests. And there have been plenty of cases. I mean, you know, former prime ministers who remain nameless have been found to have been doing all sorts of business
on appreciate that, Fevzi, but again, some may be tuned into Radio London and think, but we are only referring to TikTok, aren't we? It's just a social media platform. You see people for 15 seconds doing a dance or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just kind of contextualizing this for people, for you, in terms of what most people will be really surprised by, that when you refer to all of this type of security and requirement for government officials, you're talking about a social media platform which is hugely popular, as we know, especially under 25-year-olds.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it is the most addictive of the platforms because its algorithm is the most effective one on the planet, I think, in terms of serving up content.
Sure.
But look, as I've alluded to, it's your location. So you can track who's meeting with whom. You know, you know, President Zelensky comes over and then you work out where the Prime Minister is and you've got a fair idea where...
Does that mean, again, just for those of our listeners who do not have TikTok, does that mean that there's no kind of disabling, point or tab on the app that you can disable that particular action, as you say, of location services? Is that not available on TikTok then?
So when you download an app, you agree to what are called permissions. You give it permissions to legitimately access particular data. I say legitimately, only legitimate in that it's got your consent.
Sure.
But if there is a suspicion of bad faith, you know, it's not unheard of for it to be found that apps are doing things that are very different to what we agreed to. So they may be collecting far more data. As I say, they could be surreptitiously turning on microphones and cameras even. So I think that it's very hard to be sure what these apps are doing, and I think it's prudent to limit their access to.
Are we therefore, from your perspective, are we then moving this conversation forward more around, you know, there's been calls for this for various different reasons, and I extend this conversation out to include all social media, whether that's Snapchat, Facebook, Instagram or TikTok, around legislation of it here in this country. What's your take on that?
You can ban apps or you can block them. I think that part of it is education, and that, you know, the general population needs to be educated about the risks of apps. We are like children and we're given a free bauble.
Right.
And our eyes light up and we don't really care what information we give up about ourselves. That's a personal choice as long as people understand what they're doing. But when it comes to industry, I think, you know, in private industry, maybe we don't legislate for them, but we educate them about the risks. You know, MI5 has got a role to play in this. We should be educating the population, but particularly, you know, people holding very sensitive information, because the Chinese are known to, you know, they're not just them, but they also have been known to steal, commercial secrets.
Finally, and I appreciate this is coming outside of the conversation we are having with regards to government and their banning of TikTok, but I just in terms of for government official use, what's the takeaway for a parent tuning into Radio London? Because it will raise concerns, I'm sure, around privacy, security. I mean, I just wonder what your take is on this. Should a parent be concerned about the child using TikTok? Should it be banned from use? I mean, what's your general thoughts on this?
I think all social media platforms form a threat to the well-being of our nation as individuals, as well as our democracy. I think that these are highly addictive devices. The devices themselves and the apps on them are designed to be addictive. They use psychologists to work out exactly how to, you know, ping our dopamine receptors, and we have to be careful. And also, you know, this addictive nature is in itself harmful. If the system serves up videos for you that are things that make you vulnerable. I mean, I'm not talking just about TikTok, but people, you know, adolescents start getting things about, you know, what their body looks like and how to commit suicide and all the rest of it.
I appreciate, Fevzi, I appreciate your take, but it's really important to say, is it not, that for all that has been discussed, reported about in terms of the negative sides of social media, there is a lot that is positive. I mean, we hear about these, you know, all the time. I can only use, for example, that case of my own husband, Sonny. As a dyslexic, he's found so much more information via social media, and many parents actually find certain aspects useful. So I just think it's important for us not to kind of relay the message that everything is completely detrimental and it is just earth-shattering, because I have to be honest with you, it does come across the way that you're saying it, that the implications are this is the worst thing ever, when the fact is I suspect that we many tuned into Radio London saying I'm sorry, actually, as a response word, it for me it's enhanced my life and I am managing that process for my child.
There's no doubt that there's benefits to be had out of social media, but there needs to be some changes. We need to change, you know, all these apps, they grew up out of nowhere, and the legal framework we have is not fit for purpose to regulate it, and any product has to be safe.
Sure.
That doesn't. So, of course, cars have got, you know, great benefits. We can do all sorts of wonderful things by having a car, but at the same time, the car has to meet minimum safety.
So you're talking about regulation, yeah. In terms of use. Look, I have to leave it there just due to time, but a real pleasure having you on BBC Radio London. Thank you for joining me this afternoon. Fevzi Turk up there, tech expert from Gadget Detective, and you can also find the podcast as well.